Welcome to the first ever Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this discussion, and we hope that you will follow us on www.cotr.com.
Would you bow in prayer with me? Lord, we thank you that you are our all and all. And so we look to you right now, oh God, that you would be everything in this moment. Preach Jesus as only you can, so that each one of us would hear you in the way that we need to hear you on today. Hide me, oh God, so that these your people would hear your voice, would see your face. We need a word from you today, oh God. We need your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 12. Meet me at verse 9. John chapter 12. And we'll begin our reading in the NIV at verse 9. Amen. Amen. And the word says, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Verse 16, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. We thank the Lord for his word. Church, this year was gonna be great. Passover was one of the best times of the year. It was like homegoing, family reunion, Emancipation Day, all wrapped up together. Jews from all over the countryside would have been making preparations to come to Jerusalem, the holy center of Israel. Before they came, they prepared themselves with cleansing rituals, and they packed up to make the journey. Isn't it amazing that they prepared themselves before they came to the holy place? There would be at Passover sacrifices, just as it had been instructed in the Holy Scriptures and Chronicles and Leviticus. And in Exodus, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt to do this every year so that you might remember, so that the people might remember how I brought you out. So do this again and again. And Passover, this celebration hasn't ended. All these years later, Jews still celebrate. And Passover this year, 2018, begins on the day that we celebrate, Good Friday. So when we see our Jewish sisters and brothers, we know that they're celebrating this tradition that started so long ago. But in that year, I imagine that they gathered together in that holy city, being reminded of their rich heritage, their religious traditions. They had come aside for just a little while from the midst of their world. They had come into the city to celebrate their God and God's goodness. And I imagine it would be a little bit like what we do together. You know, just for a little while, we come aside out from the cold, and we put down the cares of the world. You know, Sunday after Sunday when we come into the sanctuary here at Redeemer, or on special church days when we celebrate with Redeemer family, we celebrate with other households of faith. You know, like even in this very season, here we are at the ending of Lent. We'll celebrate together Maundy Thursday, as Deacon Charlotte announced, and Good Friday we'll be together, and Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And we too, like they did, will visit with family, as some of us, and we'll come in from different places to reunite. Maybe cousin such and such has good news about a new job this year, or maybe there's a new baby in the family, or maybe together around the table we'll remember an elder that's gone to be with the Lord. But it's a lot like what the Jews have been doing for their Passover season. And just for a little while, we too remember and celebrate. And they came together to remember, to celebrate, and maybe for a little while to forget about some of the challenges, just some of the struggles that they left behind, some of the turmoil that we will meet, even us, when we leave these doors today. You know how we come in just for a little while. They were there in Jerusalem for this gathering, and they were aware that after the celebration was over, after they had communed with one another and with the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, after the celebration was over and the sacrifices had been made, after the last songs of Zion had been sung, and after the last hymns from the psalmist and the prayers of the priests, after the last lessons of the rabbi had been taught, after all of this celebration was over, the crowd knew that they would have to return back to their homes, to the far reaches of the diaspora where Jews had been scattered. And I imagine that like us, they wondered, if I go and when I go to celebrate and to come aside for a while, would there be a word? Would there be something that I would encounter during that revival season? Would there be something that I would come away with, some new hope or some encouragement or some new strength that I could take back with me into the midst of that life that I left behind just for a little while? And it's with all of that excitement that the crowds looked. With all of that anticipation, they wondered who would be there. Who would show up this year at the festival? You know how we do. Who's preaching? The topic for today's message is the word on the street. The word on the street. And so some of them heard that there was this teacher, prophet, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who had the audacity to claim this special relationship with God, that he would be among those who would be entering the town. And I can imagine, I can almost overhear some of the conversation of friends and family talking about the days to come, texting about the days to come. You know, we'd be there all week. Which service are you going to? Well, again, who's preaching? That's thousands of years ago. That's not now. And I can almost hear some young sisters talking. I think they're cousins, Nika, maybe asking one another about that Jesus of Nazareth. Is he going to be there all week preaching? And teaching, because I like when he teaches. And one of them might ask another, you want to come go with me? Come on, let's go see. Let's just go see. And I can hear the other one say, no, I'm good. I got to stay here and finish these greens for dinner. Okay, you know what? Never mind. I'll go. And so I can imagine that just out of curiosity, you know how we do. We just want to come and see that they put on their sandals. She turned off the greens. They put on their crossbody bags of water skin, and they covered their head from the sun. And they set out just to see, just curious. What is it that causes many of us to get up from our comfort, to leave our routine, to get up off the seat of our security and go and see and hear? I wonder what it was that really got these crowds to come and to hear. Well, John says that Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, but it was before that they seemed to have been drawn according to the word. And Mark's gospel says that Jesus made provision for his ride into the city and that he had sent his disciples ahead to acquire the animal. But I don't think that was the moment when the people started to anticipate this Jesus. What was it before Jesus, before he'd even gotten there, that got the people wondering and anticipating in this Passover celebration with so much else going on? Perhaps, maybe, just perhaps, they'd heard word of his coming. They'd heard word of his miracles. They'd heard maybe stories about the healings that he'd performed already. And the word, church, was already on the street. Now, before we get too far about talking about the word on the street, I just feel responsible to clarify a little bit. We all hear lots of things. And in the world in which we live, that's increasingly so. In an era of social media and 24-hour news cycles, we have access to the word on everybody's street. I know about the word on your street. I know about the word on my street. And we even hear about the word on the streets halfway around the world. The word that's on the street, church, can be caustic. It can be damaging and dangerous. It can eat away at our brothers and sisters, even the Christian word on the street, or I should say the word on the street shared by Christians. Stories that we, believers, you and I, pass on are sometimes true and still gossip, not ours to share. Sometimes the word on the street, church, is malicious. That means it's intended to do harm. We see this online, on social media, and even, God help us, in the body of Christ. Sometimes the word on the street is just plain false. Now, not dating anybody, you don't have to volunteer like you know what I'm talking about. But if you're of a certain age, you remember that in the 70s there were shortages. Okay, nobody say amen. Gas shortages? Okay, all right, okay. Gas shortages and other items that you had a hard time getting a hold of. I've heard the stories because I wasn't here yet, so I heard about it. So when the script writers for the Tonight Show became wrapped up in one of these words on the street that wasn't true, They passed some information on that wasn't accurate. They had heard, these intelligent persons, I'm sure, they had heard that there would be another shortage coming up for American citizens. Toilet paper. Anybody hear about this? So one day in 1973, the host of The Tonight Show, then Johnny Carson, got up and in his opening monologue told 20 million people that we would soon run out of toilet paper. There was no truth in it, but the word on the street had moved on so in such a way that it appeared that it would have been true, and so you can imagine what happened next. Panic, like a snowstorm in Philadelphia. Everybody ran out. And so many people got up and responded to that word on the street. Help us, Lord, to which words that we get up and respond to. So many people got up and responded to that word on the street and bought so much TP that there eventually was a shortage. So the word on the street can be true, and it can be completely false and create anxiety. We've got to be careful what we listen to. But thanks be to God, the message on today, the scripture on today, the word on today helps us to know that as God's people, believers, we get to spread a message that is truth. Yeah, you do. You have access to a message of love, a message about Jesus, and we do have a word that we can put out on the street. I hope you're putting the word on the street about Jesus. But we have a word that we can spread that can usher not death into somebody's life, that doesn't bring turmoil or anxiety into someone's life, but we have access to a word that can bring hope and life into someone's downcast condition. Has anyone ever spoken a word on the street to you that just lifted up your head a little bit, that helped you to know that you can go on and see what the end is going to be? You, Redeemer, you, Christian, you can tweet that. You can post about this word on the street. And you can be part of passing this on. And that's what I think happened at the Passover those many centuries ago. The people had gathered, having heard about this word, having heard about this Jesus who was coming to town. What's the word, preacher? What was the word that they heard? Thanks for asking, cousin. Word on the street was that Jesus had been in Cana in Galilee. And the people were amazed when he saved the wedding reception by turning water into wine. Because you know the reception inn was when the wine runs out. Word on the street was that Jesus had come through the temple courts and cleared out all the foolishness we need that today. Before the Passover even started, before the people came, Jesus had gone through. Wow, cousin, he must be gangster. And that'll get you crucified. Word on the street was that Jesus was talking with this Samaritan woman. You know we don't mess with them. I don't care how thirsty she was. What kind of rabbi is that? Speaking to everybody? I think they heard that the word on the street was that Jesus had helped this man who had been waiting by this pool at Bethesda. You know the story. And Jesus challenged the man, believe, and the man believed, and he did what Jesus said, and he was healed and made whole. That was the word on the street. And I think they heard about the word that Jesus had taken a little bit of bread and a few fish and somehow worked it out, and everybody had a meal that day, and he fed thousands. This is the word that was on the street. And I think the word on the street that they heard, cousin, was that there was a man who had been blind, and then Jesus made mud with his saliva, and he covered the man's eyes, and then he sent him to wash in the pool of Siloam. And I heard that the Pharisees did an investigation because they didn't believe it, but the man, I heard the man could see. Word on the street was. There was this family, Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. And I heard that they were friends with Jesus, and then Lazarus died. And he was buried for 4 days. He was dead, y'all, dead. And word on the street was they were worried because it seemed like Jesus was slow walking it, that he should have been here by now. And I don't know all the details, cousin, but what I do know is that Lazarus ain't dead no more. Hallelujah. Is that a word for somebody? Is that the word on the street that you need, that circumstance, that situation was dead? Hallelujah. But it's not too late in Jesus. And I heard it, they sitting around, I guess they'd been talking for a minute, that the word on the street was there was this woman just before Passover, just the other day, I think it was even yesterday, word spreads fast, church. And the word on the street was that she was trying to push up on Jesus, and one of his followers, Judas Iscariot, one of his closest boys, you know Judas, no cousin, you gotta check your sources. She wasn't trying to push up on Jesus. But they were celebrating Lazarus being alive. Remember Lazarus, who he rose from the dead? And then Mary, she poured out the burial oil on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Burial oil, because they were trying to get him. They still trying to get him. And she decided that she would honor him with the most expensive thing that she could, a year's worth of expensive oil, because she wanted to give him his flowers while he was still here. And so she brought whatever she had. She wasn't trying to be inappropriate, but she honored the one who had done a great thing in her life. And John says in 2:23, now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs that he, Jesus, was performing and believed in his name. So the word was on the street, so much so that people were responding and giving their lives to this one named Jesus. And maybe that's why, church, and now it makes sense to me. Maybe that's why when we get to verse 9 of the chapter we just read in chapter 12, John can say, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus, the one they had been hearing about, was there, and they responded. They got up off their rusty dusty, and they came, but not only because of him, but to see the works that he had done, to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Will you get up? Have you heard enough word Sunday after Sunday that you too will get up and go see Jesus? It wasn't just that the word was out on Facebook. It was more than that. It wasn't just that there were pictures on the gram of Lazarus after he had gotten up. It was more than that, but it was that the word was now on the street. The message was on the street, but it was because the word was on the street. It was because the word was on the street. It was because the word was on the street, the incarnate word. He was now on their street. Come on, you'll get it. The word. They had heard the word, but now the word was on the street. This is the same John who wrote, you know it, in the beginning was the word. And the word was, and the word was with God, and he was in the beginning with God. And then John said, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I said, the word, church. If nothing makes you get up, if the rumors about his ministry doesn't make you get up, now the word was standing there on their street. This was John the Evangelist, the self-proclaimed beloved disciple, whose words have been inspiring us all across his gospel to connect this man Jesus, this tangible Jesus, this historical person Jesus, this touchable Jesus, the Jesus who was visible to the eye, to connect this teacher rabbi Jesus, this healer prophet Jesus, this revolutionary Jesus, to connect him to the eternal God. This was one and the same. This was God in the flesh. This was the word here now on the street, and he was walking among them. There were others in that day. There were lots of people proclaiming to be kings or serving as kings. And there were lots of people who said that they could overturn the oppressive structures of the world. There were lots of people who said that they could bring peace to Israel. There were lots of people who said that they could bring comfort and healing to the nation. There were lots of people who said that they could bring peace and healing and deliverance. But the gospel declares that there is only one. There's only one true and living king. And his reign is eternal. His kingdom is everlasting. His impact is unmatched. And it's that very one who made his dwelling among us, who was now the word there on the street. To those of us who live on the margins of society, he made his dwelling among us. To the cast-offs, to the politically disenfranchised, those who can't lift their voices, whether it was 2,000 years ago or today, Jesus, like Kanye said, walks with us. He's the word on the street. To those who are economically abused, to those of us whose hope may be fading, the word has come. He is here, and he has come to tabernacle and to live among us. John says, the word is now here, y'all, in the midst of us, God wrapped in flesh, born of a woman, full of grace, full of truth, full of power. You would think in the midst of the depression of this world, we would be more excited to know that the God, creator of heaven and earth and all things, the one who sets the moon and the stars, to know that he's here walking on our street, you'd think we too would respond by getting up and running to go see. Because Jesus was now on the street, John says, Zion, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Because Jesus is now here, then Jerusalem, O church, you have no reason to be afraid. Look, behold, your king is coming. Even riding on a lowly donkey, he is the king. Now, protocol dictates that when the president of the United States comes into a room, we might rise and sing hail to the chief because of the office of the president. To show respect to a leader from Japan, there are three levels of bows, 15 degrees, 35 degrees, and 50 degrees, depending on how important they are. Now, if you go to the Vatican, brothers and sisters, you have to be mindful of the attire that you wear before you have an audience with His Holiness the Pope. And if Queen Elizabeth came into our sanctuary, then we're supposed to maintain some distance, and I'm supposed to curtsy deeply, unless I'm of a particular high class or a special visitor. And when I'm in the presence of Queen Elizabeth, I can't speak unless I'm spoken to. But aren't you glad? Aren't you so glad that when you come into the presence of our King, our Jehovah, the God who was with us, the one who got down in the dirt with us, the Word who was on our filthy street, who walks among us to encourage us, that He doesn't tell us to back up, but He tells us to come closer. Hallelujah. He bids us draw nigh. Aren't you glad, so very glad, that when our King Jesus came on the street, He didn't silence us, but He told us that we could cry out to Him for what we needed. Aren't you glad that that is the King? This is the King, this Word, our God, who can pardon us faster than any president. It is this King, the real and only King, who can forgive you of all your sins, and He's on your street. And even though He came riding on a donkey with no pillow to lay His head, it's only this King that has access to all the wealth of the entire world, for it all belongs to our Lord, far more than anything that the Queen could give you. But cousin, you know that when Herod comes by, we got to give him something. You know the rules. We can't just show up empty-handed when the king shows up. Maybe, church, we ought to treat Jesus differently and not show up empty-handed. But what is it that we can give to this king? I don't know, because we don't have any money, but when Herod comes by, we've got to give whatever we have. It's the tribute that's owed to him because he's the king here. But what do we do if we see this Jesus, this Word that's on the street? If this is the living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, I can't even imagine what we might offer him. What could we possibly give him? Look at all that he's done. I mean, he's like healing people and waking people up from the dead and like fixing people's blindness, all these things. What could we possibly give him? Well, the word on the street is that at Cana and at the wedding, they thought about what Jesus had done, and they witnessed this miracle. And after the party, after the after party, they said, wow, you saved the best for last. They acknowledged what he had done. And the word on the street is that the Samaritan woman who'd been given the living water, she then proclaimed, the gospel says, and she said, I know that Messiah is coming, and in him she put her hope. Word on the street is that man that was at the pool who was unable to walk, he then got up and he went and he told the Jewish leaders what Jesus had done, how Jesus had healed him. He told somebody. She proclaimed it. Okay. And the word on the street was, cousin, that those hungry worshipers who had come to church but didn't know how they would be physically fed, but they wanted to come and hear a word for their souls. Well, when they left and their bellies had been full, John's gospel says, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who's come into the world. So they opened up their mouths and they let somebody else know that the word was on the street. And the man who could now see, he told his story and he worshiped Jesus. What can we bring for this king? And Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they still outside shouting right now. Well, maybe, cousin, maybe we should bring something then if we go down there and see Jesus. Maybe we can do something to honor him. Nothing fancy, but something to honor this king. But what can we bring him? I don't have any money. I don't have any money. Certainly not for a king. I don't have much of anything. I know what we can do. I remember one day the rabbi was teaching, and he said something happened in Leviticus, that back in the old days, you know, back in the old days, when the kings would come through, one of the things that the people in town would do is that they would start to wave branches. Really, leaves. That makes absolutely no sense. Okay, but I'll go with it since you've been getting more teaching than me. All right, let's do it. Okay, so what they did was cousin one and cousin two, they went outside. Let's grab these leaves. And so they reached up into the trees. They didn't have any money to bring to Jesus. They didn't have any gold coins to give him. They didn't have any riches. But since they knew what the word said was that you could bring, okay, so we'll grab these leaves down. And what do we do with it? And then what do we say? We're going to show up in front of the king with leaves, and then what shall we say in the presence of one who opened blinded eyes? I mean, what do you say with these leaves? It makes no sense to the one who raised somebody from the dead, the one who comforts the grieving, who turns over the tables, literally, of injustice, even in the church house. What do you say to this king when the word is on the street, church? You just got to bring your praise. When the word is on the street, just bring your worship. When the word is on the street, you even get to bring your petition. And that's what scripture says they did. Psalm 118, 26 and 27. Blessed who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The psalmist said, the Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. And that's just a lot of psalmist fancy words for what cousin said on that day. So they grabbed their branches, and they ran out into the streets to see the word on the street. And you know what they cried. Hosanna, Hosanna, and it means save now, because the word was that he could do it, and if he had done it for them, then maybe, oh maybe, in this Passover, he could do it for us. So let's just cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, the word has come forth of all the great and awesome works of the Lord, and now he's here. And we have an opportunity to stand before him with our praise. Don't forsake the opportunity to stand before him with your worship. And you don't have to have money. He owns it all anyway. You don't have to have a title. Your name doesn't have to have letters behind it. He doesn't need your face hanging on a wall. But because he came for her, and because he came for him, and because he gave her the living water, because he opened his blinded eyes, you just run out into the street and you grab your whatever you can and you wave and you cry out to the Lord. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Open up your mouth and proclaim the goodness of the one who is on the street. Blessed is the King, Redeemer. It's not Passover, but the word is on the street to this very day, because he promised to leave us a comforter. And the word is in your heart. If you'll let him enter in, the word is still on the street. Jesus is the word, and he has come. Have you seen him, church? Have you seen the word walking through this sanctuary week after week? Have you seen the word showing up in a hospital room and healing? Have you seen the word in the courtroom pleading on your behalf? Have you seen the word working through your body and healing you? Have you seen the word on your street changing the house that you live in, saving your household? Have you seen the word healing your confused mind? Have you seen the word cleaning out your heart? The word is still on the street. And when the word is on the street, give God glory. Give God praise. Your king is coming. Your king is here. Do not be afraid, Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, Zion. That is the word that is on the street. To God be the glory. Give God praise. For he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you rest on your feet? Rest on your feet as we pray. Oh, how awesome you are, Lord God, that you didn't leave us here alone, but you wrapped yourself in flesh and came down 40 and 2, oh God, and you walked among us. Even in the midst of great danger, Lord, you didn't stop serving. You didn't forsake your assignment, oh God, but you healed, you delivered, you set free. And we know that that ministry has not ended, oh God. Help us to share that word boldly, oh God. Help us to leave here with this word and share, Lord God, so that others, even beyond here, would know that you remain with us and that you are still available, oh God. We thank you that you are the King. And we look forward to continuing walking this journey with you, even to the celebration of the resurrection. Thank you for your word, oh God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Celebrate the King. Celebrate the King.